Welcome back to So There I Was. I'm your host again, Travis Womack. Today's guest is none other than Evan Lowe. He's a artilleryman turned marketeer. Well, yeah, I found a better word for that. But man, Evan, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks, Travis.
So as a fellow marketing major, I just realized that we need a better term for what that a French word or maybe some Spanish word that makes it easier to pronounce. But what I like to do on every guest is kind of just give you
The
an
origin of
opportunity
that.
to do the origin of marketing. Give every guest kind of a opportunity to kind of to say, when they joined, why they joined, kind of what sparked that desire to put on a uniform, and particularly the Army uniform in this case, and then just kind of walk us through your career a little bit.
I'm born and raised in Virginia Beach, so I was surrounded by Navy my entire life. So naturally, I thought I was going to go in the Navy. My grandparents were in the Navy, and the only guidance from my parents was that I could be anything I wanted to be in life except a teacher. So naturally, those paths didn't cross over. Fortunately, I was okay enough at football that I had some offers to go to college and play ball. The one
Awesome.
school that really stuck out to me the most that said I could also do ROTC was Christopher Newport University. They only had an Army ROTC program. So I joined with an open mind. I was like, if I like this Army thing, I'll stick with it. If not, I'll just cross over into the Navy. And I get to play football, which is my passion, but I'm 5'10, 180 pounds. I'm probably not in the NFL.
It's
So I get to
tough.
also pursue my career, right? That's kind of how the whole Army thing started. And I just kind of fell in love with the culture and the people. Branch in all of its infinite knowledge, knew that I didn't want my number one choice of being an aviator and put me in artillery. And I mean, those are the people I am. Just knuckle dragger dudes just looking to have fun and blow stuff up. So
Oh yeah.
they definitely got that one right for me. I joined in 2016, did my basic officer leadership course in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, before I was fortunate enough to be sent down to Fort Polk, Louisiana, now Fort Johnson. And so everywhere I've gone since Fort Polk, it's just gotten better and better and better because you can't get much lower than
That's
that. So if you start at the floor,
basically like that's like walking around without shoes and being like, shoes are pretty amazing and everything gets better.
it's a glass half full kind of mindset. Every place I go, it's just better and better.
Did they ever build the Texas Roadhouse out there? Because it was like in plans for like 15 years.
So I wasn't around for the Texas Roadhouse, but I was
Okay.
there when the Chili's came out. And when Chili's
Okay.
came out, it
Big
was
deal.
off the chain. Everybody was drinking at the Chili's. It was like the party spot, the food spot. I mean, the reservation times were crazy.
Yeah, is that on base? Is that on base?
So it was right off post,
Right.
but
Okay. Yeah, because there was a
5 minutes
there's
down
a
the road.
because that I forget the what's the city right there next to it. They're all about like non-corporate stuff coming in, and it like just kills the vibe. Everyone's like, oh, if you go to Bob's for a burger, they don't have any other chain. It was a free
Sure, it'd be nice
enterprise,
if we had a
but
Chick-fil-A or something.
yeah, exactly. So that's crazy. Sorry, continue.
That was 2016. Joined 10th Mountain Division down there and went to Iraq in 2017, replaced a 2nd Brigade, 82nd. Also on Torch, so I got integrated with that unit and got to hear all about their airborne culture and that I was a dirty, nasty leg.
Yes.
I was a five jump chump eventually, but just really got to see how they were doing operations there. Around that time, they did the big Mosul mission, taking that back over in OIR. So, with my artillery unit, did a lot of moving around. We went everywhere from Tal Afar to building PAAs out by Key West, up to like the Syrian border. So that was about 3 months worth of our deployment time there. Anybody who knows the artilleryman officer timeline, if you have a job more than a year, you're kind of they're looking at you like, what are you doing? You have to keep rotating out.
Right.
At that point, I did my whole deployment train up with the guys, and my battalion commander's like, hey, we want to keep you in place for a little bit longer. Just so we hit the ground running when we get in country. So I stayed for about 3 more months as a fire direction officer. Then I switched out with an FSO in Baghdad at the deployment for my firing platoon, and then infantry platoon leader who was a little loose with the properties, so I also replaced him. So I kind of dual hatted the rest of my deployment as a heavy weapons infantry platoon leader and as a fire support officer. So very unique deployment. Had everything from combat operations, going to austere environments, and doing all that fun stuff to living in the green zone. So very, I tell people I had, two different deployments. I just never came back home. Just kind of had them in the same trip. Yeah, it was, yeah, got a little bit of everything, got to fire some rounds and do some things, have some fun stories from, Louisiana, Iraq. There are things I was like, man, I kind of don't want to come home because there's some things that are better in Iraq than Louisiana. If we ever have
It's
to
a
get work.
weird mindset because I totally relate to that because like you're like this is I always joke with people or try to explain that joke. Artillery's combat support arms and stuff is there's a unique mindset to be in those MOSs because I tell people would you play high school football? You play football, right? And so would you have played high school football if you did two-a-days? Which is the equivalent of going to like JROTC or whatever, right? And then you did morning practice and you did after school practice the morning and afternoon and you're just training, the equivalent of doing PT and training, right? And all this stuff. And you do it week on, week off. It's like, would you still play if there was never Friday Night Lights? Would you only do it if all you ever did was practice, and prep? You had a game plan, you had a blitz package or whatever it was. Would you do it if there never was a game? It's like that's the life in the combat arms and combat support is we train and like, well, we may never get a play. And it's like, so when we get to war, it's kind of like we kind of enjoy the game. It's kind of fun, to a degree. And there's you can take it too far and get there's pills for that. But it's a matter of like you get to go show the world like, no, we are the varsity team, And so I
That's so
it's
funny.
it it's 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 I use that analogy all the time. You can steal it. Excuse me.
So I used to say something similar, like you don't practice to not play the game. And at the time, plus I wasn't married and I had no kids. So for me,
Changes
it's
everything.
I have nothing else on my mind. Like let's go do the thing. We spent 14 months training. We're in Fort Polk, so it can't get much worse no matter where I'm at in the world. And on top of that, we had to finally do the thing. 10th Mountain deployed all the time. I showed up to that unit the day that they got off their post-deployment block leave from Afghanistan. So my privates have combat patches, and I didn't. I was just like, man, I've got to really
This
prove myself
sucks.
here. Yeah. I mean, of course you'll get the, well, how do you know what it's really like, sir? And like, yeah, I got it. Training is training, but that's why they merge you with, an NCO who has that real world experience, and you have the fresh doctrinal experience. And we made a great group, and we shot a boatload of rounds and took a boatload of indirect right back. And
When it whistles back, it's always fun.
if anybody has anything bad to say about target acquisition or radars, like, you haven't been on the other side of one of those big rounds coming your way. Getting in a long range duel is not the most fun time, but
It's
you really
fun. It's
appreciate
fun when
those
you're shooting
guys.
rubber bands across the room to your siblings, and then when it comes back and it's not a rubber band, you're like, "This is gonna hurt."
But man.
I have to tell you a funny story about that exact thing. So I was in Iraq, and we a little skirmish we got in, and a brand new Joe who fired a 203, and but he was from where I last saw him. He was facing in our little kind of in the kind of 90 degrees in a different direction, and the fight's over here, and he's over looking that way, which he's supposed to be, and we're shooting, they're shooting. You see tracers going both directions. Then you hear the distinct sound of thunk, and the whole fight stopped. Like they stopped shooting at us. So we started like, because we thought they got mortars. We are so screwed. Like we're 12 dudes in a field, and they're thinking they got mortars. There's two of us. We're screwed. And all of a sudden, way off in the distance, you hear this. Oh, we're like, the hell was that? And he's like, that was my 203. Like you're fired, man. Like what direction are you even shooting?
That's crazy.
the whole fight ended after that because like it gave them time to duck and cover and run. But
Yeah.
it was.
All right, we're done here. Ball
But you talk
play.
about it, like 15 guys, all their buttholes just. Oh no! Oh
Yeah.
heck!
It's a show of force in a way.
It is. It's that sound is damning. So, oh, that's funny. What so you were in Polk. So I've been to Polk only a few times because I was a recruiter in East Texas, and like, it was so funny. We would take recruits in the van to like go see an army base, you know. And like, this is the most amazing thing ever. And all the recruiters, like, oh yeah, totally.
It only goes up from here, kids, I promise.
and they were like amazed by it. And then they get in, and I had so many of them call me back, be like, why did you not tell us what Polk is this? I'm like, I've only ever been there on these tours, man. But like, I somehow
Yeah.
did 20 years in the army and never went to JRTC or ETC. Don't ask me how I pulled that off.
That's
So
crazy. I was spending every month in the field at JRTC.
yeah, I was gonna
Our
say, if you're
brigade
10th
commander was
diver out
like,
there.
you have the premier training grounds in your backyard. Every month I expect you out there.
Yeah.
So we trained.
Yeah,
We were
so you can
really good at
say,
our
is
job.
that second or third brigades down there?
Third brigade.
Third, yeah. I was like,
Yeah, I got there right as they reflagged from fourth brigade when they made that transition.
right.
So they're third brigade, yeah.
Yeah, but he's not wrong. I mean, you have the biggest playground in your backyard and use it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
just drive out back, get your land reservation, fire some rounds. Yeah, we were all out there all the time. So anybody got stuck from too many vehicles coming through and just tearing up all the mud, it's
Yeah.
probably somebody from Third Brigade who got you stuck in a ditch. So anyway, you can blame
That's
them.
awesome. So what triggered the crossover?
Crossover for me really happened kind of sequentially. So I loved artillery. My last year as a lieutenant, I was the field artillery branch rep. So I went back to Oklahoma and I was the guy who would go to the cadet camps and to West Point and talk to all the kids about, like, hey, when you branch, you should branch artillery. So it was nothing about me not liking the job. Everything to do with just kind of personal changes in my life. So at this point in my life, I have three kids, a divorce, a wife, got the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And right around when my divorce happened, I was like, love the army and I love artillery, but I was in the 101st at that point. And so, every few months, it's like, all right, you're getting ready to go to Ukraine, possibly. That's right when
Yeah.
that started popping off with Russia. And it just wasn't a very sustainable lifestyle to be there for them. So that's when I kind of started looking into functional areas and seeing, what makes sense for me. I took command in 3rd Brigade Roxanne's. I was a headquarters commander.
What
And
years was
around
what
then
year?
I that was
Post-COVID.
yeah, so I had showed up to Fort Campbell in 2020, but I was an FSO for the Combat Aviation Brigade. So I took command in 2022. Yeah, just in kind of a weird scenario. I went to the CAB and 1st Brigade, ended up commanding in 3rd Brigade, and I wasn't even in Campbell for 3 years. So,
Flip the coin on
when
that
people
one,
are like, what are the
didn't
brigades like? I'm like, well, I kind of had a hand in all of them at some point, so I can tell you what it was
you?
like, back then. Obviously, leadership and stuff changes, but some cultures stay. Like
Yeah. Well, the rock solid culture
everybody.
has always been there, that's for sure.
It's very strong and the one I identified with the most. It's either love them or hate them.
You should
And
your stencil and spray paint on first day.
oh yeah. I
Paint that
mean,
thing on everything.
our brigade CSM was giving out 4 days for anybody who got a Tory tattoo. Like it
Wow.
was just a thing. You
Yeah.
wanted to have you why don't you want the kids to drink the Kool-Aid? We make it in the house.
Yeah.
There's no excuse not to drink it. But yeah, I commanded there. I had a headquarters command. So I had 275 kids on top of my own two kids I had at the time. So a lot of soldiers, lots of problems. Great unit though. I mean, $130 million of property. So it was a big undertaking. But right around then, my marketplace comes out and I see recruiting command. I'm like, I've heard about this marketing thing. If I'm good recruiting, I feel like that bolsters my resume. I also didn't the marketer and kind of like the face of artillery for the cadets. And I talked to them. I was like, all right, you know, this makes sense for me to do a career pivot potentially. And so I went to Jupiter Company to be their commander for 2 years. In that first year, I applied. I learned as much as I could about marketing. I sent LinkedIn invitations to everybody I could find from AMO. And I was like, you know, can I get a coffee chat? Can I talk to you for 15, 20 minutes? And, you know, it was a pretty rigorous process of them picking. In my cohort, only 12 of us made it to the interviews, and from the interviews, six of us got in. So yeah, it was very rigorous. And then afterwards, you know, the one gap in my resume was, you know, you don't have a marketing degree. So I'm currently at University of Florida getting my MBA with a concentration in marketing. So that's going to fill that gap. And then from there, I'll actually, after 3 years of being a marketing officer, I'll finally do a marketing job officially in the Army. So
Well, it's kind of like the people don't, the functional areas is such a unique thing because there's a baseline of quote unquote qualification to get into it, you know, and whatever. But then immediately once you get there, there's still a year or two of some kind of school. It's not, you know, not even training. It's like advanced. What's the all the colonels in the Pentagon, they're all it's all math. They're all strategists basically, you know. It's like, and I'm like, good gosh, the amount of math classes they had to like go take as a captain again. I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, I had a friend just do that, and she graduated from Brown. And it's just like, you know, you're going to like these super expensive, prestigious universities. I was pretty simple. My wife's from Florida. Our son was born in Florida when we were together in my recruiting command, and I grew up a Gators fan. And I was like, this is a chance for me to do the best move for my family and the move that, frankly, I want to do. And it's a top 20 university in their MBA. So I was like,
That's great.
somehow I met that sweet middle ground of what's best for my personal interest and best for my family and best for my career all at the same time. Like, how many times does that all line up? So normally I have to make some type of, you know, okay, you know, if I do this one crappy job or I go to this one crappy duty station, all right, then if I go to Korea, then maybe I can go to Carson or whatever else, right? This is the one time that everything just kind of lined up, boom, 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 got in, and
That's awesome.
it's been great.
Yeah, so when you went from, you know, a headquarters company in Rockesons, and then you go to recruiting command, how big of a life change shift was that? Because you go from a whole bunch of Joes to probably what, 50 recruiters, maybe 60, you know, somewhere in there, and you know, and they have a whole different set of issues.
So I remember when I first got there, I went to one of the quarterly, oh, I'm forgetting the name, one of
Cranberries.
the quarterly, the quarterly QTB. And I hadn't taken command yet. The other guy was still in the seat, but they're like, hey, just get a view for it, meet some of the new peers and stuff like that. And like, yeah, you might have to do, you know, a run for the mandatory PT they have in the morning. Who knows, you know, what we'll do. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we're gonna do like a 4x36, something like that, right? And then they start laughing at me. They're like, we might run 2 miles, and I guarantee half of them will fall out. And I'm like,
We'll make it across a
what?
parking lot.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, this is a different culture than what I'm used to. And that was kind of my first introduction to it. I was just like, oh. Yeah, 4x36 are just the standard. Like, every time that you get in a formation, you run, you sing your favorite songs to your friends, 4 miles, 36 minutes. Like, that's just what you do. Definitely a different culture. I mean, obviously everybody's super spread out, which being in a headquarters command with, you know, all the fire supporters and radar and staff, you know, I'm used to people being spread out. So that wasn't a major shift for me.
Probably made you a better commander, honestly.
I hope so.
I mean, because it is. I mean, coming from a guy that wasn't used to rec, the guys that came from units that were like all in one little hub, they try to command that way and recruiting. I'm like, dude, we're 3 hours from your office. We can't come in like and do in person monthly meetings. Like, it's just the manpower, the movement requirement for this is ridiculous. So.
Yeah, and you also have to put in your one per. And if you're a small station, then the station commander also has to put in assault or enlistment each month. Like, yeah. So I did a decent thing of, understanding that they were doing well, and I'm like, all right, I'm not going to touch it until I see kind of what needs to actually be fixed. Like everybody comes into command or brand new lieutenants
Change it
that, you know,
all.
this is wrong, this is wrong, that the position that you have will get filled once you leave. So you don't need to upend everything. And those soldiers are going to be there a lot longer than you, almost always. I joke with people, I'm like, officers move so much because people hate us so much by the end of it, they just got to get us out for our safety. That's why we always PCS. You'll never hear about an officer being in a duty station for 10 years, it almost never happens. And that's because, some of us come in, they're like, let's tear it all up. And doing that every year or two is just, it doesn't create stability. But yeah, we did great. Jupiter Company, Miami Battalion in general, super strong battalion and the companies within there. We had five companies, and I think all of us got within the top 10 of USAREC
That's
the
awesome.
first year that I was in command. So we were, really getting after it, and iron sharpens iron. All the commanders are chirping back to each other about, oh, congrats on being 150% of your mission, but you didn't complete your reserve mission, so you don't count. Doesn't matter.
We're gonna make up every alibi possible to say that you still
Oh my
lost.
God, the goalpost moving in USAREC is unlike anything I've ever
Like
seen.
you mentioned mission, but they're all blue-eyed, so you failed. Like, what
Yeah, exactly.
the heck?
Oh man, there's just so many hilarious USAREC isms that, I mean, even after 2 years, I just didn't fully comprehend. In my area, I had about a 20% Haitian population, but I didn't have anybody who was assigned like Creole as their language. Thankfully, I had some people in my company that just they spoke it because that's kind of like where they came from. They tried to send people back to generally where they came from to
The effort,
recruit.
yeah.
And I was just like, hey, you know how you have like your analysis and EO? Well, yours is Creole translation. That is your additional duty. I am sorry. I will fight for it. Someone in Minnesota Great Lakes Battalion doesn't want to get rid of their spot because it's getting somebody else paid. I don't have to tell you, I'm going to fight for it. It's probably not going to happen. Never did. It was very different than line units. And it's nice when you're in Florida and a lot of people want to leave. One, because they can't afford to live there, or they're just tired of being in the heat all the time.
And we sent them to Fort Polk, where it's like just
Oh my
a
gosh.
treed version of the same thing. We're still hot and humid, the water we're.
Louisiana, I told people this. It feels like I'm dunking on Louisiana. Maybe I am. Is all the bad parts of Florida with like almost none of the good parts. Like, yeah, it's hot here and it's muggy, but we have Disney World and Miami and Tampa. And
Really
like,
nice beaches, some places.
yeah, and we have beaches. New Orleans is fun-ish, Baton Rouge, LSU has a great, sports culture there. Definitely a place that, if you can catch a night game at Death Valley, even if you don't like sports, like you gotta go to it. You just gotta respect the culture they have there. But outside of that, Shreveport has a bunch of casinos, but a lot of other places have casinos,
The Shreveport Mets is a little hidden gem. I'll tell you that. Whenever I was a recruiter.
Oh, yeah, that was I feel like no recruiter liked their MEPS and probably vice versa. That was another one of those things is just like,
Well, it's
complain
so
to me about
small.
MEPS and
Like, what Mets did y'all use in Jupiter? Did y'all go to
Miami.
Miami? Okay, so we I was in Houston Battalion, so we used Houston Mets. But I was in Lufkin, Nacogdoches area, so it's literally a 2 to 3 hour drive to get to MEPS. But we could go 2 hours northeast and you're at Shreveport. Or we could go 2 hours northwest and we're in Dallas. So we could kind of like however far you had to drive to go find Billy,
Yeah,
because we were
it's
out there.
equidistant. Do
Because,
what's best.
and like this, I'm gonna pick you up and we're gonna keep driving. And we learned not to use Dallas MEPS because they're that's our competition, and Shreveport was a little bitty building. I mean, it was literally like 12 people working there, and but we go there for it was just so much easier sometimes just to get there. Like, what are y'all doing here? And we're like, it was closer. We live in the middle of nowhere. Like, we cover thousands and thousands of miles of Texas, so to drive all the way to drive an hour and a half north, turn around, drive 4 hours back is not really time conducive. But
Yeah.
I hated that part about that job, was the driving. Oh my God. I complain about it from being East Texas. I'm sure up here in Florida, and I talked to a guy, like a two-man station out in like Wyoming. He's like, dude, I have like half the state. It's just the two of us, you know? And it's like, we have to get a new car like every 3 months because there's so much driving. And I was like,
Every time my recruiters were like, I want to be a career recruiter, I want to convert, I'm like, I'm glad that you enjoy Florida and that you've had a great experience in this command. But remember,
big
Montana
country.
exists.
Exactly.
Kansas exists. Like
Yeah,
you don't know
Alaska
where they're going to
exists.
send you. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm glad that you're doing it so much that you want to make this pivot. Let's just weigh out, like, what's the worst that could happen? Let's think about that scenario too.
Let's look at a map
Yeah, right.
and start throwing some darts and see what happens. Because
Exactly.
that's the result. That's a different mission. I think people don't, being a drill sergeant, being a recruiter are like the two most unique schedule involvement. Because like you have a very, especially as an officer, a very unique connection to soldiers, or to be soldiers in a sense. And if you're an AIT instructor, like you're an instructor, but they're managed by, it used to be drill. Did it go back to drill sergeants? I can't remember now.
I
I know.
think they all fell under that same umbrella now, and they have drill sergeants that are in AIT now.
Right. Because it
So
used
much
to
has
be that way.
changed in the Army
Right. Because
since I was in conventional.
when I came in 03, it was drill sergeants that were like, they were the administrators and marched them around to places and dropped them off. And then there was instructors like any other, here's how to do artillery. And then they got rid of that and made it just a normal AIT assignment. And then they were anyways, but you have such unique involvement. I always talk about, my favorite rank, I was enlisted for 9 years and crossed over, was still being an E6 because it was the last rank that you actually have hands-on, like control-ish of and responsibility of a set group of people, and then and you get to do the mission as well, and that's the you become E7 or you're an officer, like you have hands-on control of training, but like you don't get to do the job. I mean, you can always insert yourself, but it's like everyone's gonna frown if the platoon leader's always pulling the cord and firing artillery. Like, that's not your job, sir. Like, go over there. You can do it once or
Let me
twice.
just
It's
get
my
one.
string, And but it's that. And I had a lieutenant that was former Green Beret, and I'm like, sir, I stop kicking in the doors, okay? This is our job. Like, we know you're really good at it, okay? But calm down. Like, you have to command the element. He's like, I know. And we spent hours and hours in the truck in Afghanistan, and we have these little, I'm an E4, and he's like, Womack, what am I doing around? I'm like, you're kicking in the door first, sir. Like, this is what the guys need to do. He's like, okay, fine. But I like to kick in doors so much. That's my job. I was a door kicker. So
Well,
it's.
that's the fun part about being an officer is that you find the job that you want to do and you got to teach somebody else to do it. Like,
Yeah.
if you really enjoy a part of a job, that's probably not the part of the job that they really need you at. They need
Yeah.
you making sure that they don't get held back because your slides aren't up to date. All the
Yeah.
fun parts I felt like, it's like awesome. I get to, be out there and I was part of the. So when I was a headquarters commander, we were the heavy PZ team. So me and my little Pathfinder group, we would go out and run heavy PZs. Super fun, getting with Chinooks, slinging,
Oh yeah.
everything under the sun. 101st, we got a lot of the new equipment. So the new infantry vehicles, we were figuring out how to sling those and super fun training.
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately, when you have 275 soldiers and $130 million worth of property, that's probably the last place I needed to be
Right.
most of the time. So whenever I found myself like enjoying things a little bit too much, it's like there's probably something that I
Something else is
need to
burning
do
right now.
that's more important. If I'm having too much fun, that means something's getting left behind. I'm going to really regret not doing it later. So need to kind of reprioritize and
Yeah,
position some
that's
things.
the hardest thing. And I didn't, it's funny, being a maverick, as they say, crossing over, like I didn't appreciate that. But I became first lieutenant slash captain. It was like you start realizing, like, oh, Now I understand like why there's this mindset over here when you're an E4, E5, you're like, all these officers are so stupid, they're never around. You're like, it's you don't understand, you don't see that lens behind that door, behind the curtain, as they say. And it's like, yeah, dude, I'm doing everything I can to truly shield y'all from stupidity. And like when I was in this unit, second brigade, I had the our battalion, we had the only lieutenant that wasn't tabbed in the infantry. And so it's like every horrible freaking thing came downhill to us. Like, God damn it. The one non-tabbed, it's like, go pick up trash. We're like, second platoon will go do it. Fine. Because like we're getting punished because this guy didn't go to school. And then you become an officer and you realize like, oh, you have to have that voice to shield your guys, or gals, but.
I get it. My guys got a lot too. I mean, not only was I untabbed when I took my heavy weapons platoon, I was also an artilleryman. So, oh, your PO's a pogue, and at first, like they would be like, yeah, like, I know. And by the end of the deployment, end of our time together, because I was only supposed to cover it for like a month or two. My commander's like, hey, just fix the property. We're gonna deploy some kid fresh out of school, and he'll take over. Well, 9 months later, they're like, oh shit, Evan still has his fourth platoon. We really got to like, yeah, he has to like work one job for once. We got a new guy in, but yeah,
That's
by the end of
crazy.
it, they're like, my pogue PO could beat up your PL, screw you, like you get in good with the boys, and they'll take great care of you.
Oh
I
yeah,
mean,
as an
the
officer to understand
E4s had our
how to
back.
use E4s is that's the golden ticket. If they need to have like quality E4s go to like academies and ROTC programs and give briefs. All right, we're your friends. We will take care of you. You take care of us. Give me Fridays off every now and then. I was like, your property will be good. I promise. I will make things disappear or up here, whatever you need.
It was in country. I had a vehicle that was down, again, we're heavy weapons, so we have to get it in, looked at immediately. Turn it in one day. We have layouts the next day. Chains cut, all the properties taken out of it. Somebody clearly tampered with it. My commander's, he's upset. Obviously, my platoon, even though it wasn't my fault, had property issues in the past. And so he is, just reaming me out. And so, I go to the go. I had these two specialists that were the senior guys, and they were in the same shoe. And I just kind of walk in, and I was like, "Hey guys, this is the BII list. Everything that I do have is marked. Everything that's not isn't." Just kind of sat on the desk. I was like, "I'll see you gentlemen tomorrow morning."
I'm a little
Went to
lunch.
sleep, woke up, and
Everything's there.
I love these kids so much, but I had so much excess BII that I could just field the entire company at that point. I was like, guys, I needed one toe jack and I have five now. I have 18 Phillips head screwdrivers right now. Like, what did you do? And they're like, don't ask, sir. I'm like, you know what? That's on me. I'm not going to say anything. Great. You're welcome, sir. I've now,
We found Muhammad.
replenished.
He hooked us up. Oh.
Yeah.
We
Just,
did. He gave us a list. We
the
made
one time
copies
you
of
got to
it
call in.
and gave the list to everybody. And we didn't like say, "Hey, you get this and you get that." We all got everything, and now everything's here.
And now it's not our problem. So everybody's happy. And we're leaving country in like 2 months. So it's all good. Everyone's happy.
So there's that side of the E4 Mafia that's great. But then the backside is like the stupidity of ideas, because I mean, I lived in the barracks when I was an E3, young E4, and they bought us, we knew we were going to Afghanistan. And so we had this rappel kit that was bought for like every platoon had one kit and then a zip line kit for some reason. I'm like, because we didn't know, before this is 04. And they left the stuff unsecured in like the day room and over the weekend. Well, good gosh, the barracks, the day room, zip line kit, rappel kit, like we're putting that to use. And so we're rappelling off of the freaking roof of the barracks, and obviously staff duty's not happy and get come back to work the next day, on Monday, and our platoon leader and commander are like, what the hell, guys? Like, this is your fault. You left a rappel kit. Like, we're not even, you can't be mad at us. Like, what do you expect?
I love it because it's the same soldiers who are like, it's stupid I can't have a toaster in my room. I'm like, well, when I
Exactly.
trust you with
Or a hot plate.
anything, you mess it up. Like, The second I give you a little bit of trust, I'm sorry,
Yeah.
but the rule says no toaster. I trust you with a 240, but I can't trust you with ropes. You know, like, where's the line? Who knows?
It is literally like an Uno deck of like, oh crap. Oh, this is good. Oh crap. Oh, this is good. It's
Oh my
so
gosh.
true.
All
So
right. So, did anybody get hurt doing the rappelling? That's my
no,
question.
so the rappelling,
Okay.
no, we did pretty good on that. We'd just done rappelling stuff before, so we're all like semi-fresh with it. But the zip line, how nobody got hurt is because we were zip lining from the third floor roof across the courtyard to we had the old World War II lined up barracks, and we put mattresses, like three or four mattresses at the bottom, so you zip line into and crash into the mattresses. It was a great time, you know.
Just do a
And
solid PLF and you're all good.
yeah, I'm saying we're paratroopers. This is our thing. This is our jam. And the all-time best though is still we had a for 4th of July we were the recall unit for the army, you know. And so we can't go anywhere. We're just like, this sucks. And we knew we're next in the shoot the next month. This is massive schedule and stuff. And we're gonna be on lockdown for July 4th. This sucks. And so me and a bunch of buddies all had pickup trucks. And if you've ever been to Fort Bragg and you drive towards South Carolina, there's a billboard about every 10 feet and for across the border. It's a little big old sombrero hat dude, you know, and they have a bunch of rides and food. And you're like, after about 400 billboards, you're like, I have to stop just to see what all the commotion's about. And well, anyways, they sell some crazy fireworks, and they're all, you can't sell them in North Carolina, but you can bring them back. And so we went down there, we've got five pickup trucks, and they just put pallets of Roman candles in our trucks. And we drove back, and we put, you know, I mean, a pallet of Roman candles is a lot. And we put them all over the barracks, and our barracks at the time were these L-shaped, like you had 1st Battalion, 2nd Battalion, you know, the BSB and the cav unit. And so we all faced each other in this massive courtyard. And so we put boxes all on all the balconies, and 4th of July comes, and we're having like the biggest Roman candle war you've ever seen. It was like straight out of Star Wars, just freaking going every direction. And trying to shoot the other units because you know you see you love each other but you hate each other,
Yeah, of course.
and we realized real fast that they couldn't shoot across the courtyard. It was all fallen dead, and then somebody out of nowhere has a Scooby-Doo like full costume, and so the game became could you get in the Scooby-Doo costume and run across the courtyard and not get set on fire because we're stupid, and lots of fun. I mean, the control of fire was amazing. You know, and then like little do we know, like half the MP unit of Fort Bragg shows up because like they don't know what's going on. They just see fire every direction, and the MP was there, and he's like, "I can't arrest all of you. Just go to bed." And we're like, "That's a good plan." So we all went to bed. Of course, the next morning we all get woken up like stupid early, and our brigade commander was furious, you know, and he's like, well, I don't have the time or the patience to UCMJ all of you. I don't even know what we would even start with for punishment. He's like, back in damn sure run y'all into the ground. He's like, and this guy ran ultra marathons like because it was fun. And we're like, oh, this is gonna suck. And he's like, so I mean, all the commanders are there, all the lieutenants, and you know, all the senior NCOs are like, what have y'all done? It's like they're getting punished too. They're like, we weren't even here, you know. And he's like, no guidons, no cadence, y'all just follow me. And we're like, oh, this is gonna suck so bad. And he took the whole
Sir,
brigade down Long Street out and towards the ranges and stuff on a Sunday, you know, and we ended up running like 10 and a half miles, you know, and I mean, we're just strung out. I mean, people were just like, bleh! You know, we get back and he's like, does ever happen again? Are we good? And we're like, totally worth it. It was still worth it. Oh my God. I can't feel my legs, but it was so bad. My commander's like, well, Mac, seriously, I was like, I didn't have, okay, I definitely drove. It's a
So
good time.
being surrounded by, a bunch of civilians now, since I'm in grad school, explaining unique punishments to people was always just like that this is your workplace. Like, what do you do? Like, I remember we were low on our 4x36 metrics because you can't just do the division run. You have to do the pre-runs before the division run to
Oh,
prove
yeah.
that you can do it, blah, blah, blah. And I remember I was at in a meeting. I was like, hey, why is this platoon specifically, their numbers aren't going up? Like, are you running? Like, you're an adult. I have 275 kids. Are you running your platoon throughout the week, like during PT? Like, I have your PT plan that says that you're running, but it's not passing. What's going on? And it was a sergeant first class, and he was like, well, sir, you don't check me on the runs. And I was like, okay, interesting, good plan. So now what we're going to do is we're going to take all 275 of us, and we are going to do a formation run for a 4x36, just so I have accurate data. Thank you for bringing that to my attention, sergeant first class.
It's like, why did I
And
talk?
so we get everybody in the line, and the Divardi Loop in Fort Campbell is like exactly 1 mile. So first mile, I do the loop. So I'm trying to get in their heads of like, okay, we're just gonna have this boring run. It's gonna be 4 laps of this. On the way down, we passed a little Shot Pit and Burger King, and they're grilling all the fatty cakes in the morning and stuff. So I make sure to run through that parking lot, get the whiff, really start hurting some feelings. Go take the air assault route. Come back, run back past it. I think we're probably at 3.5 miles now. See who's gonna fall out. And then I made sure to pass the battery on the way back just to see who else would quit. We probably did like 4.5 miles, not just four, but yeah, there were some very upset individuals that day. And I never once again heard that I don't check them running. It's a weird concept. I was like, oh, I thought that I
Crazy,
could trust you all as adults. I have 17 platoons, by the way.
huh?
So I'm like, what do you want me to do? If I ran with a different
That's a
platoon every
huge
week,
element.
I
That's
would,
a huge element.
it was supposed to be reserved for a second time commander. I happened to be on my first command, and I was in the queue. Some people, they don't want to do a second command in a force comm unit. It just kind of like all the stars kind of aligned for me to be in my third different brigade in 2 years. And so I was like, yeah, screw it. I don't know how I feel about these Rockstar guys. They kind of they're full of themselves. And then I got there, I was like, no, we're awesome. We're so cool, dude. Tories are the best. We have so much culture. No one else is as cool as we are.
It's true though that
I mean,
you can't buy that stuff. It's crazy.
and I tell people, especially like in recruiting, I'm like, there will be parts of the army that suck, but if you drink the Kool-Aid, the sucks a lot less. So enjoy it,
There's definitely a mentality of like when it's, I've been on plenty of runs where it's like that. When I was a Joe, and you're running, and you're running, and running, and you pass the company or headquarters and stuff, and you're like, oh, I never, and then they keep going, you're like, asshole, and you're just like, the phrase embrace the suck is a real thing, but I remember we used to do battalion runs, and they put the speakers out there, and so we'd all, whenever you get too close to the music or somebody else's unit, if they had music on, we'd all start mosh running and just being stupid. It's like, just embrace the stupidity and be stupid with it, and it's actually, when you get done, you're like, eh, that's kind of fun. And it's just a weird thing. But you mentioned something that I'd like to hit on, though, and it's a lot of what this show is about is working around civilians. You're still in, but I think it's the same construct of, you retire, get out, and you find yourself in a professional environment with people who have never put on a uniform, and you're trying to explain the life, the culture, the punishment, the, and, do you find yourself withholding those tales because people don't get it, or do you find yourself, and I use this analogy of people don't tell their stories or tell any stories because they don't want to give the 2 hour back brief so that the story itself has context and makes sense, so kind of, how do you see yourself in that environment?
So I'm pretty much an open book with anybody. Especially, most of the people I work with here are younger than me, and I hope they don't make the same mistakes I do. Like, I'm coming to this program as a 32-year-old. Some classes I have, undergraduates too, because they want to be in a marketing concentration. So I have everything from like a 20-year-old like, hey man, you know, make sure when you get, you're ready for them. You know, all the things that, you know, I wish somebody would have pulled me aside and like, hey man, you're probably not going to want to buy that Dodge Charger the minute you get back from Iraq, which is a real story that I did. I think my lieutenant years were partially my private years. But yeah, I'm pretty open with it. And, you know, I kind of explain it to people like this, like it's very different for us because we have UCMJ authority. It's not the same as being a manager at Best Buy. Like if you mess up in our job, I can send you to jail and take away your pay and make you
Be
show up
late to
during odd
work.
hours of the night.
Right.
Yeah. So it comes with like a very different, you know, you can't really compare it type of deal. And it's like when I hear about people want to be in HR roles, I'm like, oh, it would have been nice if I had somebody be the bad guy for me all the time. But instead it was just me being the bad guy all the time. My between me, my first sergeant, and my XO, we were bad batter and baddest cop. It was just like, what flavor of ass chewing do you feel like today? You know, we didn't, you know, we had 275 people. We didn't have time to put up with nonsense. Funny story, I actually had a, at one point I had an AWOL E7, and when we finally got him back, first off, I had a lieutenant who got out of the Army to pursue an MMA career, so he was on that pickup mission. And fun punishments, I was like, you have to report to my driver, who's a private first class, and he's a sergeant first class,
Good
like
times.
every hour during from 09 to 1700, and a staff duty every 4 hours. You're not allowed to leave post. You know, you can get creative with it, you know. But I was making darn sure he wasn't leaving before he had his trial.
That's
You know,
always fun.
and I don't expect people to fully understand because, you know, there's going to be a natural disconnect because what we do is entirely different in some ways, but also a lot of
It's
the
not
concepts are the
normal
same.
either, you know?
Yeah, but the concept of leadership's still the same. Like show people you care about them, show interest in their job, you know, different things like that. You know, I feel like I'm able to impart some of my experience in that way, without, you know, like I don't have all the answers either. If I had all the answers in everything, then I wouldn't be in school, shouldn't be in the Army if I have the answers in
Wouldn't
everything. I'd do a way more important job.
be right here.
But yeah, I really enjoy it. And in Florida as a state in general, much like Texas, is very, you know, pro-military. And so one, great place to recruit out of. And two, people, you know, they care and they show interest. There's definitely a difference between people who are just, you know, talking to get rid of silence and people who are talking to, you know, understand and want to hear you.
That awkward elevator, like, oh, so what did you do? You're like, you don't, we can, we don't have to talk right now. It's okay.
We don't have to do this
We
right now.
can
It's fine.
awkwardly stare at the reflection in the doors and be okay.
It's 10 seconds. We'll be okay.
But it's interesting because I get that a lot with people. You know, I live in North Dallas now, and you know, people are pro, you know, for the most part, but it's you know, trying to explain like airborne ops, you know, trying to explain, well, if you were your command, you said late 21, early 22 at Campbell. So that didn't y'all do a division like field problem?
Oh yeah. Oh gosh. That
You
yeah, we
know,
did
it's
it.
like trying to
I did.
explain like the
Yeah.
scale of a freaking division 30-day field problem or whatever it was, you know. I mean, like it's as a former infantryman, I'm like, damn, I so this is crazy. In my entire career, spent 5 years in infantry, four in recruiting, four in a maintenance unit, and then three at the old guard, and then four at the Pentagon, right? So just kind of doesn't, none of it makes any sense. But before I went to, I was in a HIMARS unit. Before then, the longest field problem I'd ever done was 4 days. And I never went to ETC, never went to JRTC, and I never went to Korea. But somehow I deployed four times. And
Yeah. There's your field problem.
I went to the HIMARS unit was the longest field problem I ever did. It was 9 days. And then it, which was for me, I'm like, what are we doing? You know? And then now, like I have all my friends that are out there now and they're like, oh man, we were in the field for like 47 days. I'm like, the heck are y'all doing? You know, it's
Yeah.
I hear about the 101st Division. I'm like, holy crap. Like, is there enough land in Tennessee to do that?
So we had to split between Campbell and Knox, because we had 20,000 people we were trying to put in the field.
Right.
That all came from, so we had a new division commander, and he essentially did like a sensing session, and to his credit, he talked to every battalion level within the entire division. And what he told us, he was like, a common thread is that you also, you don't have enough training. So here you go.
Careful
Here's
what you ask for.
21 mandatory days. And you better believe everybody was like, I wanted it, but not like that. I
Want you
don't
to tell
want
me to do
this. Yeah, I want to
it.
do it on my terms, not on
Right.
yours. Yeah, it was, and it got progressively, it evolved over time. I believe they still do it. But it started as just like whole division of the field, but battalion level ops, which of course is just like, why can't the battalion just plan it? But it was designated, this is field time. You said you wanted it, you get it.
Right.
And you're talking about like being a soldier and being like, this is stupid.
Right.
These officers are also dumb. It's
They're
like,
all trying
well,
to
yeah, but at the
get
same time, what was one of the chief complaints? You don't get enough training time, so here you are, go train. What are you just gonna do?
Right.
Sit in the field for 21 days? Don't waste the time.
You're right.
So even though
Use it.
I was not a fan of being in the field for 21 days, especially the first two, I was in a staff section. So imagine doing staff work all day for 21 days.
That's the
Yeah,
worst.
and as an FSO, you're pretty much in the aviation brigade. I was essentially an AS3, and then I was actually an AS3 for the second one. I was just like, man, we're just planning all day long,
Yeah.
even though we had to plan for weeks on end to even just get here.
Right.
We already know what we're gonna do, but now we're trying to make pivots, and yeah, not fun. But as a
Yeah.
commander, like
You have a
you get
tracker
to
for
like
your
do fun
tracker.
stuff.
You have a tracker for
Yeah.
your tracker that
Yes.
does
Oh my gosh. All the products, just push and prod day
Yeah.
and night. But yeah, it's hard to explain. It's like, oh, so you got a 4-day weekend for those 21 days, and it's like,
Yeah.
yeah, unless you're in command, and then you have to take care of
You still got
something that
work to
someone
do.
did dumb back in the rear
Yeah.
because somebody had something and they abused that privilege or whatever. Like, it's very different.
I was the S4 on that 9-day field problem. Like in artillery, especially HIMARS, I don't have any responsibility here. Like I don't control anything because it's all echelons above me. And getting ammunition, getting pods for HIMARS is like it doesn't come through me ever. those things are controlled by way more rank. And they're like, "Well, Mac, where's the pods?" And I'm like, are you seriously? Like, I don't even have the phone number, man. Like, it's not even, it's like, it doesn't even, it just skips me. So they make up all these things that I was supposed to do in the field, and my commander was, he's a great dude. We used to give him a hard time because he's like, oh, when I'm giving fire commands, I'm like, this isn't like real. Like, if we're firing ATACMs, the order is not coming from you. It is coming from a computer, from somebody else long ways away. He's like, I know, but just play along with it.
I was always a towed artillery guy, and I never had HIMARS or MLRS, but being the FA proponent engagement guy, I had to, kind of be able to talk about it.
Right.
I was like, how do I explain to these kids? I'm like, all right, here's a safety switch, here's a fire switch, and basically it gets rid of a grid square.
Right.
What questions do you have? And they're like,
Yeah.
nope, sounds good to me. I'm like, all right, that's about as much as I know.
That's
So,
the round's called a Gimler, which stands for Grid Square Eliminator.
yeah.
I'm like, it's the
It's like if
coolest
you
nickname
don't,
in the history of nicknames,
it,
and
that's
nobody ever
awesome.
believes me because I pull up the yellow book because I was an ordnance originally, and which falls under logistics is an annoying thing, but and I have that yellow book and I pull up the actual nomenclature for it. It says, no, it says Gimler's Grid Square Eliminator. That's the official name of this freaking round. You have something 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 ball link, all this stuff. I'm like, it's like this is the. This is how it's tracked. And they're like, that's the greatest
Awesome.
thing ever. And I'm like, someone let an E4 pick a nickname, and that's what they came up with. So, but.
Like, great job, kid. You can either get a coin or you can name this been like Grid Square Eliminator. Yep, sounds good, man. Why
Exactly.
not?
You know, that's how it happened, too. That
I didn't want that coin anyways.
some general's driver is like, I got a crazy idea, sir. What if you called it this? He's like, write that
Yeah.
down.
Write that down right now.
You know that's how it happened too. And
Exactly.
I never like my old boss was your old boss. And so he was Joe McGee. And so he when I was at the Pentagon with him, that was the thing, is his going away plaque. He loves acronyms, like loves them. And so whenever we were working on program stuff, he was always doing this, like, what are we gonna call it? You know, so we had everything was an acronym. We had got so many of them. So his going away plaque was our logo, and inside of it was all the acronyms of all the things that we had worked on. Because he told a story back when he was a Ranger bat, as a lieutenant, years and years and years ago. He came up with this training idea for his platoon or whatever it was, and called it Ranger something 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 thing, and they actually took that, and that's actually the actual name of the program now. He's like, it
Nice.
was a joke, crap. You know, so this joke has gone too far. But so it's funny, like being in those meetings with him, and we'd have these things. Oh yeah, this is ASAP. I'm like, that's taken. No. That one's already taken. We
Yeah,
cannot. We need
for
some
sure that
new
one's trademarked.
words.
So I have a pretty good story about General McGee. So I like to do this thing where I just have fun and I convince people of like one small little lie just for fun, and then I'll tell them at the very end of like whatever command I'm in. Again, they kick us out all the time for, you know, you can't say here or there. In my recruiting command, I had all my guys convinced I was like a mega Katy Perry fan just for fun. I don't know. You know, makes life interesting. And my command in Campbell, there's a place right off post called JP's Hot Chicken. And General McGee's name is JP. And everybody knows that, you know, and everybody knows JP McGee, General 101st. So I had everyone convinced, and I had this whole story laid out of like, well, you know, people talk about officer money. Well, not all our money comes from just our paychecks. You know, like we have other streams of income. A lot of us, you know, have stocks and brokerages, and some of us like buy companies. I was like, why do you think General McGee keeps coming back to Fort Campbell? This is his third time here. He has to keep an eye on his business. He was here at in battalion and brigade
Brigade,
and now at division. Like, there's a lot of better places than Fort Campbell, guys. He's not doing it by chance. He owns JP's Hot Chicken. He's just making sure the operation's running smooth. And the amount of people that believe me when I told that story is,
awesome.
yeah, I mean, sometimes,
Oh,
again,
that's
you're in the
great.
field for 21 days. What are you going to do? Like,
Oh,
yeah, I'm
that
going to
is
just make up some
awesome.
silly little thing and see who goes along with it and see how long that thing lives. It's fun.
I'm gonna have to text him this today and harass him with that. So, guess
Yeah.
we're on a small team. We actually had each other's cell phone numbers. I'm like, I'm never calling that guy. I don't know what the protocol here is. It's the only captain in the room to have the general's phone number. But yeah, he's a funny guy in a lot of ways. It was fun to work with him for a little bit. He was intense and didn't like BS. He wanted to give it to him straight, and if it burned the building down, then we'll get fire hoses, you know, and fix it. But that's cool. Well, what do you see yourself now with, you know, or getting to go do this marketing thing? Is I know you're pending, but what are kind of your expectations and where do you see it going for yourself and the Army?
So, it really officially started in 2019, and I got accepted about 2 years ago, and they only accepted six people. So I don't see it expanding in size greatly. But just kind of a little bit of backstory, you know, for a while we had a hard time meeting our mission. So the great minds of the Army was like, hey, we have a sales force in USAREC, and with recruiters, we probably need a marketing force to support them, right? It kind of makes sense, kind of like every other major corporation. And so they're out in Chicago, and they partner with a civilian organization out there, and they run it like a Fortune 500 marketing firm. So when you get there, you're not really sure exactly what you're getting into, whether it's like the data side, the marketing execution, the strategy. So I'm just kind of preparing for whatever happens. I have friends that are up in Chicago right now, so I might have an idea of what'll be in my marketplace. And you know, anybody who's done the marketplace recently, you know, in the Army knows that, you know, you do your interviews and you kind of figure out what you're going to do from there and make sure you're one for one match. And so then I'll really try to like hone that in. Over the summer, I'll be going to the marketing course provided by the Army in Chicago for 3 weeks. Probably try to knock out some ILE, maybe take some extra just random courses that UF will fund, like, you know, R, Python, things like that, just so I'm ready for whatever job is available at that point. But yeah, it's really just, hey, you come in with an open mind, and this team is less than 100 people. So, you have a chance to make an impact.
It's a cool
So
environment.
I'm really excited for it. I mean, it's literally all field grades and above. There's like a handful of captains sprinkled in, but you're either promotable or, you're going into your promotion
Senior
window.
captains, right? Absolutely. That's cool.
So yeah, I'm really excited. I have friends that can kind of tell me what it's like, but you don't really know till you're on ground. Like I've never taken a train into work, and that's going to be a huge change for me and the family is, taking the train into the city because there's no parking because it's Chicago. And I don't want to live in, a downtown area. I've got three kids and a wife. I'm trying to, let's live in a little suburb. I'll train into the city. So it'll be definitely one of the more unique living situations we've had, but we've adjusted to everything else. So,
So DC's that way too. You live out
oh
in the
yeah.
boonies, and they give you a stipend for your Metro card. It's like 250 a month, something like that. And it's so funny because you get on that. I rode the bus in, every single day, and I'm sitting on it, and just like nobody talks. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Like it's like taboo to talk to people because like everyone works in the Pentagon or they work in Congress, and both of them are jobs and places where you can't talk about what you do for the most part. So everyone's just kind of like, you have no idea who you're sitting next to, and it's like, oh, this is the guy that plans nuclear submarine placement, and you're like, he wears weird shoes. You're kind of, because no one wears, hardly anybody ever wears a uniform on the bus or the metro. Every now and then it does, but it was late, early start or whatever it is. But it's an interesting like environment to bus in. You're like, this is so weird. I don't have to deal with the gate. I don't have to deal with the check your it's so much different.
But the benefit is that you're not physically driving like in recruiting command. That was the hardest part. Is like, how do I have time for PT and command and making mission and my family? And I don't know, maybe spending time with my wife by the end of
Overrated.
the
That's
day.
just it's a perk.
How do I
So
balance all of those things at the same time?
I listened to so many books. My Audible account was booming during
Oh
that
my
time.
gosh, yeah.
Because no one
Audible
talked.
and
I'm like,
podcasts.
so I was just like, well, I just hit play and I knocked out in my 2 years I was commuting. It was, gosh, I was knocking out a book every other week, and it was awesome. To like, oh, I have this thing called time. I've never had time before. I don't know what to do with myself. And get home, I could be more present when I was home, or at least I thought I was. But like, well, the cool thing though is, and you'll experience this, and you're probably in a little bit now of school, but like when you're at Campbell or Polk or anything like that, like the schedule is just like when the when do we go home thing is like this ever floating, it's called the Joe's called the word, and it's just like this, it just lingers and lingers, and you're like, when do we, I don't know when we go home, and your wife's texting you, hey, when are you coming home? I'm like, I don't know, the it's because you're the commander. I still don't know the answer to that. Like everyone's asking the same question, but then like you get into that environment and like, no, I have to go home now or I will miss the bus. And then there's no way to get home, and that was like the biggest shock for me in the Pentagon, because like literally around 4 to 4:20, like the building would just be like ants, just because like everyone's like, you've got like 3 shots to catch this train or bus to get where you're going. And if you're on the buses, it was the buses would end, the train ones would go longer, obviously, but the gap in between trains is different. But I was like, I have to go. This is weird. Like, we're in the middle of the meeting. I have to go because I don't have a way to get home. It's a 40-minute bus ride. So imagine if I walk. So, it was crazy. So, well, man, this has been awesome. I love getting the. This is my favorite thing about doing this job, or it's not a job. It's just fun. But it's getting to meet people that have unique things and unique backgrounds and random crossovers. Never would have thought that Joe McGee would be a random connection of all things, but he's a dude. And
I have one more good one for you
oh,
before we
please
go.
do.
Because you were talking about rappelling, and so
Oh yeah.
General McGee was in West Point, and you know how West Point's just like a tower. It's got the part that goes out, archers back in the day, whatever they had back when West Point was built. So they did a rappelling demonstration, and I had a PA because headquarters. So my PA did some things, and since he's an officer, you had to go to the general, and he decided the level of reprimand. Well, I got an email notification. It was like, you're changing this meeting from, the CG's office to the CG's quarters. It's like, wait a second. And so I'm looking it up, and I'm like, there's no way. Legitimately, he was, chaptering people out and doing all of his office work like from his house in the first floor. Like, we are all, it's, and it's not just me and my unit and my soldier. It was, other people just like sitting outside the general's door at his quarters, and it's just like waiting for you to go in. And I mean, he,
That's
just very
awesome.
down to earth. He's like, still got to work. Can't really put my boots on because my ankle's broken, but stuff still got to get done. And so he's like, yeah, I'm just holding these meetings in my living room.
Some
I
coffee.
mean, just, yeah, just so down to earth. And he's like, yeah, I've got the video of me breaking my ankle if you want to see it. And it's like, and I've been in command for like a month, and I tell people all the time, I was like, my time in like Fort Polk too, but my time in command is just kind of like a fever dream. It's like, I'm determining this guy's fate for his life in someone's living room right now.
This
Cool.
was not
Okay.
on my
This was
bingo card.
it. No, not when I took the guide on, I had two arrests within 4 hours. Like, none of it makes it. It's all just a fever dream.
We didn't even
I
finish the
this.
Subway sandwich. Well, come on, Bob.
I was, in the pool with my kids. And I'm just, I see it's first sergeant, and he's like, hey, welcome to command, by the way. And then 2 hours later, he's like, so it happened again. I was like, what do you mean again? He's like, different soldier, but also
Seriously.
arrested. I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like still trying to figure out people's names. I got 275 of them. So
Oh, man.
I'm like, who is this? What platoon? It's a staff sergeant? I was like, oh my God, what? Like, give me the rundown. Who is this person? Like, I don't know everybody's backstory at this point. So
They
Camel was
don't tell you
absolutely a
that in
fever
the end
dream.
brief, I promise you. That is the here's the guide on, and then all the emails just somehow find you. You're like, I don't know where my desk is at. How do you get my email? And it is the word. I had the same thing. I took command, and then like literally we finished the little sandwiches and the handshakes, and my wife at the time left, and I go to my office and log in the computer and like trying to get my profile, on there, and my email's like syncing, and there's all these ding, 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 ding. I'm like, these are some weird names. And I'm like, how do y'all even know it's me? Like, I just signed the paperwork like 3 hours ago. And I'm getting forwarded like the JAG, the brigade JAG is like forwarding me stuff like left and right. I'm like, dude, like we just said, you just shook my hand a little bit ago. It's, yeah, I know you're in charge. So here comes the emails. And and it was a, I'm like, dad gummit, man. You're like, I'm not a lawyer. Like, write this as a, I'm a fifth grader. So I know what the heck's going on. He's like, well, let me break it
I've
down for
always
you.
loved that.
Soldier was breaking up his girlfriend. No, she was breaking up with him. He didn't like it, so he proceeded to choke her, and to get her to be quiet so he could explain why he didn't want to break up. She needs him in a happy place. She runs out of the barracks and gets in her car, and she proceeds to drive out of the parking lot. He comes running out like Tom Cruise, jumps and flies and lands on the hood, and is holding on to the hood of the car, like beating on the windshield, like, let me explain why we can be together. There's like 20
Love
witnesses.
me.
Yeah, exactly. This is what it was. So she drives like the 3 blocks down the road from the barracks to the MP headquarters, and she pulls in the parking lot, and there's like five MPs having a smoke, like, pretty sure you're under arrest, like right on the hood, not allowed on base. And so they get that, and I'm like reading this report, I'm like, you can't make this crap up. I don't
No,
care.
and the thing is, as soon as you commission, you're expected to do
All of them.
investigations. And it's like, the only thing I know about this is like, if I watch CSI and actually paid attention, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. They're like, well, what lines of questions did you give? I'm like, the ones you gave me. And I guess I asked some follow-ups, and
Those are so
I'm sure it's
tough.
the same in every unit, but I've been light my whole career. So it's like a lot of those guys do some really dumb stuff, and you just, It's like, hey, Denilo, you did great on that last investigation. Here's another one.
Oh, that's the worst. If you
Thanks,
do,
sir.
you try real hard because you want to do it right, and then they're like,
Yeah.
oh, you put tabs and document protectors. Here's another one. You're like, I knew I should have written this by hand so you couldn't read
Yeah.
it. Oh,
You're
that's
like,
the
actually,
worst.
can you also look into this? And this is like, is this all the same investigation, or are we just making stuff up at this point? Like, what are we
Exactly.
doing here?
What are we doing? What in the heck's going on? So who invited that guy? So, oh man, it's a mess. Well, thanks so much for being here. We'll wrap things up here, and we could go on for hours and days of life in the Rockasans. I would probably know way too many common people, and we'd have there's not enough coffee in my drink here. But man, I really appreciate it, and good luck to you in finishing up school, and the unique thing that is Army marketing. And where it's going, it's interesting to see the last 7 or 8 years of how it's kind of morphed into the thing that it is, and how it's been in place and all the realignment. I'm sure it's going to be a good time for you and your family and stuff. So good luck to you and all that.
Thank you.
So, but if you're listening and you haven't subscribed, by all means, please do. And otherwise, we'll see you on the next episode.